Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
And, you know, we're starting to get into some of the stuff where it's things we're familiar with, all right? Today we're going to do the triumphal entry, even though next week is Palm Sunday, but I realize if I don't time it right, I'm going to be doing the crucifixion on Easter. And that's, I want to do that the week before, so you have to bump everything back. So I'm preparing you for Palm Sunday. Look at it that way, okay? And so we're looking at this. And so, Father, bless your word. Bless us as we receive it. And, Lord, let it never be some academic exercise to put information into our heads. But Lord, let it be the life-transforming truth that you gave it to us to be. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John's gospel tells us something, right? Because the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they only tell us about Jesus going up to Jerusalem once. Now we know that if he was going to be respected as a Jewish man, he probably went up for every one of the festivals. But John records four other times that Jesus goes up. And I just want to just quickly just tell you a little bit about those times, because then I want you to see that when he goes up on this festival, on this Passover, it's different. All right, it's different. I mean, the disciples know this is different. This is not like the other times. So he tells us they went up to Jerusalem. The first visit was shortly after the miracle at the wedding of Cana. That was the time when his mother said, hey, hey, Jesus, fix the wine problem here. And he's like, it's not my time. All right, so right after this, okay, he's up to Jerusalem for a visit, and some things happen there. All right, so this is very early in Jesus' ministry, this first time he goes up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is always a place of conflict and opposition. He could minister all over Galilee and only be rejected in his hometown. All right, but he went up to Jerusalem, and it was always this mixed thing, because there was people there that were very excited to see the things he was doing, because you have to keep the picture here. Every synagogue had a set of scriptures that went with each meeting. There was, these are the ones that everybody's reading today, all right? And there are some that were just read every week, all right? And so the things that Jesus is fulfilling every time he comes up to Jerusalem, the things he's fulfilling every time he goes back into Galilee and ministers all over the place, healing the lame, healing the blind, raising the dead, casting out demons and setting people free. These are the scriptures that they read every week, hoping for the coming of the Messiah. Right, so he goes up to, and so I mean, there's people in Jerusalem that are going, this has got to be the Son of David. This has got to be the King that God promised. This is, can anyone do better than this? It really is what they're looking at. I mean, if ever we were looking for the man that God was going to send to deliver us, who could possibly fulfill what God said more than this man has? But there was other people who had a different response. And when they saw the things that he did and they heard the things he was saying, they were indignant. Right? I don't know. What do you get indignant about? But you have to understand they're deeply threatened by what he was doing. Right? Because the whole system for them was built on waiting for him to come. It was not built on what will we do once he comes. All right? And so, so there's this opposition that he gets every time he goes up. All right? So, The second time visit is it was after ministering to the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember he was there, and we talked about this earlier in another message, where Jesus then went up to Judea. And so he goes to Jerusalem, and there's this man by the pool. Remember him? He was the one that, Jesus came up and said, you want to be healed? And he says, yeah, but he says, an angel comes down and troubles the waters. And he was crippled, and he didn't have anybody to put him in the water. He says, so before I can get down the water, he said, someone always gets in first. All right, so Jesus heals the man. All right, here's some guy who's been laying by this pool for who knows how long. And you have to understand, Israel, particularly this, is not like some big megalopolis where people don't know each other. Everybody knew that guy. I mean, if you go to downtown, I mean, you know Mr. Palmer, the accordion player, don't you? I mean, if you go to baseball games, right, you know, that, you know, I forget his first name right this minute. I knew it at one point. I mean, you know, there's people that you know. You see them. They're right out there. There's a guy. You know, there's street people that walk. And you go, yeah, I've seen that guy before. You know, there's this one guy with this big white beard and everything. And he just, he lived in the subway tunnels. And you'd see him walking around on State Street. Come to find out he's a friend of mine's father. But he just, you know, departed from what we would think of as life as we know it and just said, I'm just leaving, and just walked off and went and lived in the subway tunnels. You know, but we know that guy. Yeah, I've seen him before. Everybody knew the guy was laying at the Pool of Siloam, right? He'd been there for however long, and, you know, and nobody was able to get him to the water quick enough. And Jesus heals him. What day did he heal him on? Thank you. Okay. Yeah, he healed him on the Sabbath. Okay, now you have to understand, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And so they're all over him about, you know, what are you doing healing on the Sabbath? And, you know, if you were from God, you wouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. And he tells him, look, my father, who's God, he says, he's working here. I'm just working with him. You know, that's his response to them. So, you know, this opposition that comes whenever he goes up there. And anyways, and besides, he also asserted that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Now, for all the people that say, well, Jesus never said he was God, that is not the opinion of the people who are listening to him. They knew quite clearly what he was saying. Third visit, he goes up secretly. And it was the Feast of Tabernacle, Feast of Booths, all right? It was just sort of a harvest, festival that they were doing. And anyway, so they went up this third time. And on the last day of that feast, okay, Jesus cries out in the temple. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures say... Got to turn the page. Sorry, folks. I got the large print version here. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given. But a few verses later, it says, so a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Because some were saying, this has got to be the prophet. This has got to be the one that God said was coming. All right? And so... fourth visit, he goes up. It's Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, okay? And they rededicated the temple and lit the lamp, and it didn't have enough oil, but it lasted 7 days anyway. Okay, so he goes up for this. And in John 10:24, it tells us, the Jews gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. You have to understand, Jesus is a guy who causes a bit of a, you know, a stir whenever he goes up to Jerusalem by this time. All right. I mean, literally, he's up there minding his own business, going for Hanukkah. All right, and they're not going to leave him alone. He's in the temple. Whoosh, circle forms. Remember that? You know, like if there was going to be a fight at school, you know, the little circled form. You know, and it's like, you know, and I mean, so the, you know, whoosh, round like this, and you know, tell us plainly. And they figure anything you say is going to get you in trouble. Just answer us. And he says, I've already told you. You didn't believe me. He says, look, my sheep know my voice. And he says, but you're not my sheep, and that's why you don't hear me. All right, so that was the last time he was in Jerusalem, okay? But he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. All right? So we see something happening, which is there's a division occurring in Jerusalem. All right, when Jesus comes up, there's those that are sure this is him. This is the one we've been waiting for. And there's those that, quite frankly, they aren't just saying, well, we don't think so. No, they're saying, let's kill him. Let's get rid of this guy because, you know, we don't want somebody around claiming to be a Messiah. Now, mind you, Messiahs used to come and go. You know, people would come and say they were the Messiah and everything like that, and their ministries would come to nothing. All right, but this one didn't seem to be going that way. So you might think, well, this one seems to be coming to something. Well, maybe he's really the guy. No, this guy's ministry's coming to something. We better stop him is really what's happening. All right, so the fifth time Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, we see this time it's different, okay, because first of all, he says to his disciples, this is not going to be some secret slipping into Jerusalem. We're not going to let anybody guess whether I'm there. All right? He says, go get a donkey and the foal of a donkey that's never been ridden on and bring them here. All right? Now, it says this was done to fulfill prophecy. All right? So let's take a look here for a minute. It says that the disciples didn't understand this at the time, but then they realized later, remembering what they had done, remembering what they had seen, they remembered what they did, and the scripture came to them. When they approached Jerusalem and come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey there and a colt with her. untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately they will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle, mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Now, the horse was the ride if you're coming in war. But if you're coming gently, if you're coming in peace, the donkey, that was how you came. All right, and this was not like, the donkey was not the Middle Eastern Volkswagen of the time, okay? It was not the humble, you know, because it says he's coming humbly. He's coming humbly because he's coming in peace, okay? It's not humbly because he's coming on, oh goodness, who wants to ride on a donkey? No, I mean, the donkey was, that was, you know, I mean, all the prophets rode donkeys. I mean, you know, King David, Solomon, in fact, Solomon, when he was, you know, anointed as king, he rode in on his father's donkey. You know, it was like, that was like, I don't know, that was the thing to do to show that you were somebody of means and who is important. And so he says, go borrow some. They didn't have donkeys, but he says, go borrow them. They'll give them to you because I need them. All right. And so the disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coats. Okay. So we're approaching Jerusalem and they know something's different here. All right. This is going to be this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. All right. And the crowds that were coming with Jesus, and they were, you know, they started shouting, right? Because they'd seen miracles. What was the miracle they saw that particularly got them excited as we're coming towards the triumphal entry? What was the one that was kind of stirring? Lazarus, right. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, again, this is somebody, everybody knew Lazarus. Everybody knew that he really died. Everybody was there for the funeral that knew him. And probably some people didn't even know him just because they, you know, he was an important person. People, everybody knew him, so we go to the funeral. And so everybody knew that everybody knew that Jesus raised him from the dead, and they saw him afterwards, and it's like, This is excitement. This is crazy. You know, I mean, somebody raised from the dead. I mean, you know, he'd raised other people from the dead, but they were, you know, kind of, you know, here and there. And, you know, but this was somebody right in their midst, right near Jerusalem, and raised from the dead. In fact, the leaders there were so upset about that, they thought, when we kill Jesus, we'll kill Lazarus too. All right, we'll put an end to this whole thing. All right, So the people that are with Jesus are making a lot of hoopla, all right? They're shouting. They're jumping up and down. See, you got all these sedate ideas that we get from Western Europe about what this looked like, you know, have nothing to do with what was really going on, all right? These people are jumping. They are shouting. I mean, I'm sorry. I come from out of too Germanic a stock. I mean, I would have to practice for weeks to try to show you what this looked like. But I mean, they're like, hallelujah, glory to God, you know, hallelujah for the Son of David, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're jumping and they're shouting, okay. And this is not like other times going up to Jerusalem, okay. All right, but it's not just the people that come with Jesus. All right, John's gospel tips the hand on this. It said the people in Jerusalem, when they heard he was coming, they went out to him. All right, and they start cutting down branches, and there's this kind of mystery because they cut down palm branches. Some are not so specific in what they're talking about, they cut down palm branches. Problem was that there wasn't a lot of palm trees growing there. So I'm thinking to myself, somebody's missing some palm branches and is probably pretty upset. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I had those brought all the way from the Jordan, and you did what with them? Some guy was coming to town, and you decided to make a road with them? I mean, you know, this is when I'm talking about happy turmoil. That's what's going on. This is like a, you know, I don't know how many parties they had over there, but this was a party to be a part of, okay? I mean, people were out in the streets and shouting. Now, there were some people that were out in the streets that were shouting other things, but nonetheless, this retinue that's coming, you have to understand the dust is getting kicked up in the air from all the people running alongside and leaping and shouting, and you hear this noise coming down the hill, you know, it's a hill, you know, coming down towards the Kidron Valley and then back up to Jerusalem there, and anyways, And this is all going on, all right? And, you know, the crowds are shouting some things. Let's look what they're shouting here. They were shouting, blessed is he, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, praise be to the Son of David. Because the Messiah was supposed to be a descendant of David who was going to sit on the throne forever, all right? And anyway, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Luke's gospel records it, that as he was coming down the Mount, from the Mount of Olives, is right there, okay? You can, from there, I mean, the city wall is right there. It's just like, you know, you can back up like this and get a picture of the Mount of Olives and the Kidron Valley and the walls of Jerusalem. It's all like right there. And so this is all coming down like this, okay, heading towards the gate. All right, and so Luke's gospel says that the whole crowd of the disciples, now that we know is the people here that were in Bethany and in Bethphage, and then we got the disciples, began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. And then John's gospel says the large crowd who had come to the feast. Now, this is a different crowd. All right, now you have the people that are coming, but now we're talking about the people that already come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout. You know, I always think, was that the year that they decided to bring in palm trees for the festival? Yeah, you know, I mean, it was just I'm thinking to myself, and they did what with them? I'm just trying to picture being the person running this whole thing, and where did those palm trees come from? But they were there. So we see these people, what are they doing? They're spreading their garments. They're spreading, you know, these branches, and they're cutting down branches off the other trees. Anybody been to the Middle East and understand trees are not plentiful over there? Okay. This is not like, this is, I'm guessing there's some upset folks after this party was over, okay? But I just want you to understand that there is this kind of out of control joy. That's what I want you to get out of this. The reason I'm talking about people being upset that their gardens were messed with is because I want you to understand that nobody was looking to do anything wrong. All right. What it was is that this one that was coming was the Messiah. And they were convinced. They'd seen everything that he had done. They'd heard the words that he spoke, and they said, this is him. All right, and so coming into Jerusalem this fifth time, and maybe more times, the five that we have recorded, they are just celebrating. They have just cast everything to the wind. They'll replace the palm tree, you know. They'll fix that, you know, but it's just like, but they don't care. You know, it's that thing where it's, if you've ever cleaned up the mess after a big party, you know. So obviously people didn't care at the moment. All right, so this is just out of control joy as Jesus is descending and heading up there. But, of course, remember there's a division in the city. It's not everybody that feels this way. So in Matthew 21:16, again, the religious leaders come to him and said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? Tell your disciples to be quiet. All right? And when he approached, it says that he said to them, have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. And he's just saying that these people are doing what they're doing in simplicity. They are not being controlled or manipulated by me. This is how they're responding to what God has done through me. They're just responding to what's happening. They are not being led by me. I mean, yes, they're my disciples. Yes, they're my followers. But they're doing what they're doing like little babies do. Babies don't cry for a reason that we can understand. They just cry, you know? And they just, God's perfected praise this way. You know, people that just total abandon, just you know, whatever's bubbling up is what comes out. Luke 19:42, Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Now, this is where you're seeing Jesus. Remember, this is the things we learn from seeing him. Not so much from what he's saying. We're going to hear some things that he says, but it's to see. And to see him as he approaches the city. He's been here before, but this time he weeps as he approaches. He weeps over it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who slay the prophets, right? How many times would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks? But you wouldn't. You wouldn't have it. He said, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. And here's, we're just beginning to see this a little bit. In the midst of it all, in the midst of everything that's going on, you start to realize in this story, you want to listen to what Jesus is saying. All right? Because they're thinking we're bringing him up for a coronation. This is the thing that's going to change everything, you know? And we're going to throw out the Romans and have this glorious kingdom. But you listen to Jesus. Jesus is saying that the things that make for peace have been hidden from their eyes. But everybody's jumping and shouting, okay? But what do we see? In the midst of it, okay, Jesus says, this isn't it. This is not it. You know, we love the triumphal entry. We love, we would like to be there with people waving the palm branches, and so would I. That'd be a cool day, right? You know, just kind of time machine you back there just for the day, you know, little Israel in 30 AD, and go there, wave some palm branches, see Jesus walk by. I mean, I even if it's a president I don't like, I'll go see if I can't see his limo fly by or something, you know, but here's Jesus, and we get to be there just kind of waving some palm branches. That'd be a great day, right? But in the midst of it, Jesus says, this isn't it. This is not it, okay? And he's going to say some things that are a bit more, you know. So, we start to see that when life is really about Jesus, see, because at this point, what life is about for them was what Jesus was going to do, what they thought he was going to represent, what, you know, what was going to happen. But if life's about Jesus, okay, life is not about the glory here. I mean, isn't it wonderful when you get glory here? I don't know about you, but I love those times when things are just wonderful. My 60th birthday party will always be a wonderful memory for me because they snuck up on me and got me completely off guard, and all of a sudden all these friends are there and this wonderful party and everything. I love those times. We all love those times. They're great. But understand, there's something so much more. And Jesus is pointing to that which is more. He's not trying to, he never cancels the party, other than that he goes in and drives out the money lenders or money changers and the people who sold in the temple. That kind of brought the party to a bit of a quick end, but he doesn't ever criticize them for that. In fact, he says, hey, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But in the midst of all this, Jesus knew that this was not his triumph. Okay? The triumphal entry, that was that for any royal figure coming, this would be my triumph, to be greeted this way. But Jesus knows this is not the triumph. The triumph is coming, but this is not it. John 12:27-28. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, you get yourself in the middle of this hoopla. We're now in Jerusalem and in the narrow streets, and people are shouting and everything, and Jesus is having some conversation with some religious leaders over there. Don't know what that's about. And anyways, and you get over close to Jesus, and he leans over and says, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? What's he talking about? Save me from this hour. Jesus, this is it. This is the triumph. This is what we've been ministering all over the countryside for this day. All the people that you've ministered to all over Galilee, all over Judea, you know, are here. The people who know what you did, they're receiving you with gladness. They're shouting and saying that you are the promised Messiah. Jesus, this is the triumph. What are you talking about being saved from this hour? See, the triumphal entry is the triumphal entry into the week that leads to his crucifixion. That's where he was glorified, not here. This is you know, I mean, if Jesus came to town today, we'd throw a party, all right? But in the end, he may have something else in mind. God spoke over him and said, I will glorify my name again. And he did glorify it again, didn't he? He glorified his name again at the cross. He glorified his name again in the resurrection. You know, that there was these things that God was doing, all right, that were bringing glory to his name, that were totally incomprehensible to the people that they're happening to. But this, he's heading into the very thing which is going to bring the salvation of all mankind. This is the triumph. Okay, that's where the glory is. That's where the glorification of God is. That's where the real triumph is going to take place. And so, when we follow Jesus, our eyes need to be on him. All right? Our eyes need to be on him. That's what all this is, it comes down to, is that, you know, we can't afford to have our eyes on the circumstances. We can't afford to have our eyes only on, you know, what we're doing or what's happening around us. You know, we can't even have our eyes only on what we think is going to transpire, right? You know, there comes this point where you say, Jesus, you know, I want to make sure in the midst of all this that I have my eyes on you, all right? Because the ones who have their eyes on him, they got it when he went right from this party to clearing out the temple again. The second time he did this, right? Once early in his ministry, once later. And, you know, they understood the conflict that was coming. They understood that this was not going to be a who shouts louder contest. you know, but that Jesus was here for some purpose that he told them, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be taken by the leaders. I'm going to be mistreated. They're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise again. None of that made sense to them. This made sense to them. Have a party, you know, have everybody shout, have everybody bring him in as a king, you know, on this donkey, you know, spread our clothes and the branches off of everybody's gardens in the road for him. This made sense to them. The idea that you would go in and walk straight into a conflict with people who wanted to kill you and yield yourself up to it did not make sense to them at all. You know, so this, the triumphal entry, John, this, in the midst of this entry was when he says this, we quoted this a couple weeks ago, John 12:24-26, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. And just to kind of bring this to a place, because we're going to receive from the Lord's table here in just a moment, so those that are helping can prepare. But the disciples started this walk 3.5 years before. Now, this most recent thing, they'd been walking it out maybe for a week or two. He had a wonderful dinner at Simon the leper's house out in Bethany, you know, and, you know, this guy that he raised from the dead's there, and, you know, and his sisters, and, you know, it's just this wonderful occasion, you know, and you're following Jesus along in life, and, you know, it's so much of it is that way, right? I mean, we're following Jesus, and hopefully daily we're having these experiences that make us so glad that we're following Jesus, you know, and if you're not having them daily, I hope you're at least having them weekly. If you're not having them weekly, come see me. We need to pray for you, okay? All right, but this joyful thing. But to understand that Jesus has this serious work in front of him, and that if we're going to finish the walk, if we're going to walk all the way with him, we're walking all the way to the cross. And so the triumphal entry, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. But understand, Jesus knew that he was walking into a conflict that where he would be taken and crucified for us. And the Bible says something mysterious in the Garden of Gethsemane reflections. It says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. See, we understand the joy of the party. You know, this hoop, I mean, I just managed to walk from Bethany to Jerusalem with Jesus, and I'll stick around for the cleansing of the temple. That's a cool deal, you know. But to grasp this thing that you know, it means going all the way to the cross with him. See, that's where this is going. But not just to the cross, right? That was the joy set before him was on the other side of the cross, the resurrection and salvation of all the people who put their faith in. Whosoever, those words were spoken early in John, where it says that, you know, basically, to as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. This is now being fulfilled. And he's heading into it. He's probably the only one in the crowd who sees where we're going. But here's the good part. The disciples are still walking with him. You know, and that becomes the important thing for us, that in the tough times, you know, that we draw closer to him. You know, in the tough times, you know, and those times when we don't get it, listen more carefully to what he has to say. And when the things that God is saying sometimes don't make a lot of sense to us, to understand, stick with it anyway. You know, we were talking about something about revelation in a class I was teaching, you know, and the revelations that make sense, we go, yeah. What about, but the reason you have to believe they're from God is because you also have to live out the revelations that don't make sense. What about the things that I don't get, I don't understand? Will I still walk with him? And that's what the triumphal entry brings us to, is this point of saying, you know, Jesus, you know, I've made a decision to follow you, and I understand that if I follow you, I need to take up my cross and follow you, that I'm following you to the cross. And on the other side of the cross is the resurrection. On the other side of the cross is eternal life. And that's the promise. That's the thing. It's not the promise of another triumphal entry. It's the promise of everlasting life.
thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.